Tim's News Explosion. 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 Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tim's News Explosion on this Monday, the 4th of March, 2024. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube channel, the Wilmsfront Odyssey channel, and the Wilmsfront Rumble channel. Hello to everyone in the live chats. Hello to Peak Aussieman there. And there appears to be this troll. 1984 punks. I don't know. I've never seen that account before. Who have I meant to have censored? I don't know if this is. I know that Ron Nielsen had a meltdown last week, accusing me of being a leftist and left. But I didn't ban him. There was some troll who was in the chat with when I was interviewing David Clues last Tuesday, which I banned for. Insulting me, they just seemed like they were just wanting to sort of throw things around. This troll's pretty determined. I'll probably we'll see how far they go. Anyway, it is 9 p.m. here in Melbourne, Victoria, where there is a new ring of steel around the city today, which gives a lot of us lockdown PTSD. Remember Dan Andrews' lockdown ring of steel around Melbourne. Victoria police had all those checkpoint Charlies there. But the reason for this is because Melbourne is hosting the ASEAN Summit. So that's the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And so Victoria police have got special authorized powers, which means that they can demand your ID, search persons, vehicles, move vehicles, place a cordon around the target area, seize and detain things. So this is in accordance with the Terrorism Community Protection Act 2003. So obviously, because there's going to be a lot of global leaders here, as obviously taking no chances. There are the Cambodian, Laotian, Vietnamese and Burmese diaspora are planning to protest the governments from the countries where they and their parents and grandparents originally came from, because they're all, well, Burma is a totalitarian military dictatorship, and Vietnam, Laos and Cambodia, they are, well, I think Laos and Vietnam, they're still one-party communist states. Cambodia still has elections, but has a terrible human rights record. So at least we're having a summit here in Australia. That means that Anthony Albanese doesn't need to leave the country to go to a summit. It just, well, traveling from Sydney to Melbourne, that's just a 1 hour flight. 1984 punks. Dim sounds like he wants to censor criticism of his leftism. He wants to censor Aussies that are against his political ideology. I'm not a leftist. You're just a disingenuous troll calling me Dim. I've got 14 million accounts. Well, I look forward to seeing the next one there. You can fuck off there. I have got a bunch of new Twitter followers after I ex-followers after I decided to, well, I take on Kos Samaras, that Labour pollster from Redbridge, after his copyism after the Dunkley by-election. Andy Nolch is in the chat. We've got the theorist tomorrow night. Hopefully Tim is light on the gay stuff this week. Well, I'm going to cover the latest developments in the alleged killer gay cop. So that'll be coming. It's not. it's in the news. All of this gay stuff. And exactly, FP Cosimen, that guy had Wilms derangement syndrome. Leper said, but no life. I think he was referring to the troll that I just banned there. It's relatively exciting in the chat tonight. Andy Nolch says, well, calm down, Tim. I'm always animated. So on Saturday, the 2nd of March, the Dunkley by-election was held. So that was triggered by the death of the Labour member, Peter Murphy, who was 50 years old from breast cancer. She'd held the seat since winning it in 2019. She had built up a 6.3% margin. Anthony Albanese picked. I don't think she went through a pre-selection. It was just a captain's pick by Anthony Albanese, because there's no internal democracy in the Labour Party. He picked Jody Bellier. So he said that he selected her to carry on Peter Murphy's legacy, because Peter Murphy recruited her to the party. And the Liberals, their local members, pre-selected Nathan Conroy, the mayor of Frankston, 31 years old, born in Ireland. Ron Nielsen is here. What exactly have been saying about leftist censorship? Well, it's good to see you back, Ron, this week. I hope that account wasn't you. You're a regular watcher of this show, Ron. You should know that I'm not a leftist, but I'm mute ban accounts which personally attack me or try to dox me. That's just a given, but you should know me now by now, Ron. I'm certainly not a leftist, support free speech. I'm not for mass immigration. We're going to get on to some of the latest cultural enrichment that Australia's been subjected to. Because Eman said the right learned its last bridges because of its globalist warmongering, and this confirms it. Yeah, so on the two-party preferred, the Liberals got a 3.6% swing. So the new margin is 2.7% that the Liberals hold it by. Labour holds it by. So there was no United Australia Party candidate because the party's been deregistered. There was no One Nation candidate. Now the Libertarian Party, this is their first election, federal by-election in Victoria, running under their new name. They used to be the Liberal Democratic Party. So its candidate, Kirsten Abraham, won 2.5% of the vote. Darren Bergworth, the founder of My Place Frankston, that freedom community organization, he ran at the 2022 federal election, and he managed to increase his vote to 4.76%. The Liberal primary vote increased to 39.34%. And the Labour primary vote actually went up by 0.87%, but that's because there was a collapse of the Green vote by 4%. They went down to 6.25%. Apologies for all of the electoral math nerd. Maybe the Greens apparently ran dead. They didn't have any volunteers. Ron Nielsen says, Dim, just because you don't want to be leftist, you're still leftist, especially to censoring political opposition. Ron, please don't call me Dim. Otherwise, am I assuming that that troll account was yours? I mean, Ron, seriously, just be rational here. Who do you say you're going to vote for? Pecos him in there. Oh, Brucey's in the chat. You missed the troll. Pecos him in says, Dim is Tim's nice and cuckish cousin. I didn't know I had a cousin called Dim, but there you go. So, the Albanese government, Labor shills and hacks, they claim this is a win because they retained the seat and it was a standard by-election swing. Liberals claimed that this sent Anthony Albanese a message. Now, Advance Australia, the conservative activist group that helped defeat The Voice last year, which the lefty activists, they're still salty about. Remember, they blamed mis and disinformation for this. They cried racism over this ad last week. Rapists, pedophiles and murderers, elbow you, unlock the doors of immigration detention, let loose 149 criminals. You paid for lawyers to argue for their release because Mark Dreyfus, the Attorney General, allowed the Human Rights Commission to lobby for these foreign criminals' release. There are 40 in Victoria. Tell us, Prime Minister, how many in Dunkley? And the Labor candidate, remember she called those who voted, white people who voted no to The Voice, white privilege. So this is what she said. Yes, advocate Miss Bueller wrote, I feel so many heavy emotions because of the display of what I can only describe as the worst of white privilege in this country. But despite that, Labor managed to retain the seat. Now, in Mount Eliza, I know this, the seat of Dunkley well. It's where I grew up and have lived for many years. Mount Eliza is the wealthier suburb, so they swung heavily back to the Liberal Party. Clearly, they didn't like Anthony Albanese cutting their promised tax cut in half. In the working class mortgage belt suburbs of Frankston, Skye, Carrum Downs and Seaford, the two-party preferred swing was less. And now this is one of the still whitest seats in Australia, although I have noticed that, well, since I remember I went over the summer, New Year period to Adelaide when I got back, because I still shop in the Dunkley electorate around Carrum Downs and Frankston. I did notice when I got back, this shopping centre that I normally go to, it suddenly got more Indian than I remember. And we know that Indian Australians pretty much vote exclusively for the Labor Party. So I guess that could explain why those northern areas of the electorate I recorded a primary vote swing to the Labor Party and less of a swing than down in the more whiter areas like Frankston South and Mount Eliza. According to the Labor drips hacks, our stage three tax cut modification worked. The working class mortgage belt areas voted for us because we gave them a tax cut that they weren't expecting. And Advance Australia, with their racist dog whistling, didn't cut through. Though the Labor campaign, they would have been crossing their fingers that another boat of illegals didn't arrive in the week before the election, though their hearts would have sunk on Wednesday when Victoria Police announced that they had charged one of these 149 foreign criminal asylum seekers who were released after the High Court decision, who was a sex offender who went into a woman's bedroom, broke into her house late at night while she was sleeping and attempted to sexually assault her. So Victoria Police said on Wednesday they'd arrested a 43-year-old man and charged him with a number of sex and stalking offences that allegedly occurred at Dahlia in Melbourne. Now in question time, Peter Dutton, he called for the Immigration Minister Andrew Giles' resignation. And Labor probably would have thought, oh, shit, we're going to lose the seat now. Though later in the afternoon, Victoria Police at a press conference said that they'd arrested the wrong man. And they said this was because the man's ankle bracelet confirmed he was in the area. And it looked like this foreign criminal in the CCTV footage, but it was another man. So they dropped the charges and they apologized to this foreign criminal. Now, before Victoria Police announced this mistake, Susan Lay, the deputy Liberal opposition leader, said, "If you live in Frankston, you've got a problem with foreign criminals assaulting Victorian women, vote against Labor. If you don't want to see Australian women being assaulted by foreign criminals, vote against Labor. Send Labor a message." Now, she was called racist, xenophobic, whipping up fear against foreigners, refugees. Now, after Victoria Police announced the blunder, she refused to delete it because, well, the points still stood. There was last year a foreign criminal who was rearrested in Dandenong for trying to groom young girls on TikTok. And there's still 40 of these high-risk detainees who are out on the loose. We don't know if any more will reoffend. So because Susan Lay, stood by it, and she was talking about foreign criminals. She wasn't saying that all foreigners are criminals, but the director of the Asylum Seeker Resource Center, so his name is, it's a long Greek name, Kon Karaspanagota Terdis. I don't care if I butchered that. He said, "I'll be formally taking deputy leader of the Liberal Party to the Australian Human Rights Commission next week in breach of the Racial Discrimination Act by inciting racial hatred. Time we send a message, this won't be tolerated." So, yes, the old try to silence your critics because, well, Susan Lay, she was, well, speaking too much truth, blunt truth for their liking there. So utilizing the Racial Discrimination Act, which lately the Liberal Party, they've wanted to beef up the racial vilification provisions to protect Jewish people against vilification, and they want to introduce the Religious Discrimination Act as well. So they actually support the Liberal Party beefing up these Vilification Discrimination Act provisions in the name of protecting Jews. So, I mean, they can't turn around and be shocked that their political enemies are using the same laws to silence them. I mean, Maureen Faruqi, she's using the Racial Discrimination Act against Pauline Hanson, trying to bleed the One Nation Party of resources. Because remember when Maureen Faruqi called after the Queen Elizabeth II died, she was the leader of a racist colonizing empire. Pauline Hanson said, "Your attitude disgusts me. Why don't you piss off back to Pakistan?" Maureen Faruqi said that this was racist. Pete Osmond said, "Yeah, I'm not voting for the Libs then. I want Australians to have free speech." And we probably shouldn't believe the Liberals now that they're going to substantially curtail mass immigration. It seems that they just want immigration to be less than what Labor has allowed it to be, 700,000 over the past 2 years. I mean, we know that under the coalition government, they let the planes in en masse. Yes, the boats were stopped, where that is how the foreign criminals get in. But certainly the planes kept flowing until COVID, when Fortress Australia, the drawbridges went up. That was really, I think a lot of people in the chat will recognize, was one of the few silver linings of COVID, that our borders were shut to non-Australians, which showed that the borders can be shut. If there's a will, there's a way. Pete Cosiman says, liars just saying what people want to hear. Yeah, this, and we'll get into the UK Conservatives and the fake Conservative media over there telling people what they want to hear. Dawn Browning has joined the chat. It's been a spin of a weekend for me after hearing about Sam Millay then enjoying Chembros down at Belong. Their menu was awesome. Don't know who Chembros are, but we'll certainly get into the UK's latest political prisoner, Sam Millay. We know that here in Victoria, the Victoria Police are prosecuting Jacob Hershnett for his Roman salute outside the county court after he and Thomas Sewell had pled guilty to violent conduct after that confrontation with Antifa stalkers, when the NSN and EAM went on a camping trip at the Cathedral Ranges back in May 2021. Chemical Brothers. I'm not up on the lingo there. I know who the Chemical Brothers are. And also, Jimoan Roberts, he is being prosecuted by Victoria Police for serious racial vilification, using a carriage service to menace and harass and assault, for giving those grandmothers for refugees a spray, confronting them after Valene White was allegedly stabbed to death by an African teenager. Remember, we have to say allegedly when we talk about all of these killings before somebody is convicted in a court of law. And I wonder if grandmothers for refugees, whether they have a response to the horrific assault on a white 14-year-old autistic girl. This was last Wednesday at Altona Pier. She was set upon by a gang of teenage African girls. This is just some of it's absolutely horrific.
You want to start again? You want to start again? You want to start again?
That is absolutely disgusting. I mean, youth of any race who would bash an autistic teenager, they are just the lowest of the lowest, absolute abhorrent people. And yeah, so can we get a quote from, can we get some comment from grandmothers for refugees about, well, we don't know if those teenage girls were born here. Apparently, according to Nine News tonight, they haven't been arrested, these girls, though they are known to police. Absolutely sickening, disgusting. And this, according to the girl's mum, she'd just come out of her shell, this 14-year-old autistic girl. And these absolute, what do you call them, bitches, just grubs, animals. They filmed this assault and sent it to the victim's sister. Absolutely disgusting. Although, of course, sending email inquiries to Grandmothers for Refugees asking for a comment because Jimon Roberts, he's being charged for an email that they are accusing him of sending to Grandmothers for Refugees. He claims that he didn't send the email. That's why he's being charged with using a carriage service to menace and harass. I think the assault charge is related to because he spat, looks like, on the ground there, which obviously giving them the spray was enough. I've already said I didn't think it was relevant whether any of them were Jewish. I couldn't endorse the language but of Jim, but somebody needed to give those Grandmothers for Refugees a spray. And the home invaders, they are still running rampant in Brisbane. This was a security footage from a attempted home invasion by some youths that was captured and has been broadcast on the mainstream media.
Yeah, please.
Mark says these are white youths. Where will we deport them? Well, one of them looked very pale. There was one who was clearly black. There was one who sort of, well, looked white, but sort of had a bit of a tan there. So, well, it was a diverse, violent, attempted youth home invasion. I mean, maybe the two lighter skinned ones, maybe when if they're arrested and they get to court, maybe they'll claim to be Aboriginal, because when there's a violent offender that gets before a court, so many of them claim to be Aboriginal. Wolfish Naturalist says, Margot, traitors and invaders get different punishments. I hope that answers your question. Yeah, this is also the argument put forward by the refugee immigration apologist. Oh, well, there's white criminals as well. If we could get rid of all of our criminals from Australia, we would do it. But we're stuck with the ones who are Australian by birth. Obviously, Australia was founded because Britain needed somewhere to send its criminals, wanted to send them away. Though, and I've gone through the crime statistics before, those who are born in the African nation of Sudan, South Sudan, their rate of offending is much higher than their proportion of the population. So why would you import people from more people from a country which is already overrepresented in our crime statistics? And if we can deport people who are citizens of another country or are on, well, here illegally or only on a short-term visa, we should be able to deport them just like that. I mean. This is the thing about the High Court decision basically last year, why it was so alarming, because these criminals were, well, the worst of the worst, that their home countries, well, it's like, well, it's not our problem anymore. And so the High Court decided to rule because, well, Mark Dreyfus was playing a double game to release them. And there could be another High Court decision which releases more, and that, of course, not more criminals, but uncooperative prospective asylum seekers. Brucey says the only conclusion is that they're doing it on purpose. a wolfish naturalist, says the uyghurization of young whites is almost a survival method. You see the young Swedes grifting onto Arabic street gangs, also much of this in the UK. That's true as well. I mean, we have the glorification, particularly through rap and hip hop, of black crime culture. I mean, just look at the famous black rappers in the United States who ended up being murdered in gang-related violence. Obviously, Tupac is the most obvious example there. So yes, the culture that migrants bring rubs on amongst the local youth who have been here for many generations. Now, moving on to, the shocking, horrific double murder of Sydney gay couple Jesse Baird and Luke Davies, allegedly by a gay cop, Beau Lamar Condon. So last Tuesday, the New South Wales police, they managed to find the bodies. It was in the rural New South Wales town of Bungonia, near Goulburn. So this was after Beau Lamar Condon cooperated with homicide investigators and revealed the locations of the bodies. We hope not in a quid pro quo for a guilty plea in the hope that he would get parole, because of no body, no parole. I think that New South Wales police should have kept looking, because they were in that suburb of Bungonia already. But the bodies were found in two surfboard bags in an adjacent property 20 minutes down the road. So they just could have kept looking. What we heard later in the week is, because we were told that, we were led to believe that this was, that Beau Lamar Condon was a jealous ex of Jesse Baird, and so that's why he allegedly killed Jesse and his boyfriend Luke Davies. And now Karen Webb, the New South Wales Police Commissioner, she was criticised for calling it a crime of passion. She said she was trying to differentiate it from it being a gay hate crime, because obviously the alleged killer was gay himself. And also she was criticised for, when at the press conference announcing that they had recovered the bodies, that she was grateful to Beau Lamar Condon for giving them location. I think everyone would have been grateful if he hadn't allegedly murdered them in the first place. And then also because the Mardi Gras board initially disinvited the New South Wales police from marching, and she was asked on Sunrise about critics of the New South Wales police, particularly those radical queer Marxist activists, and she quoted Taylor Swift saying, "Haters were going to hate." But what we learned later in the week was that Jesse Baird was the only intended target, and that Beau Lamar Condon, he purchased one surfboard bag planning to dispose of Jesse's body, and he stole bullets from a rifle range, so that when he used his police issued Glock pistol, when he returned it, it would have the same amount of bullets. But even we now learn that Jesse Baird had housemates, and so Beaulamar Condon, like, he stalked, he was a stalker of Jesse Baird, though yet he had a key to this share house, and the house, none of the housemates nor Jesse Baird changed the locks, even though he had, according to Jesse's mother, that he regularly turned up to Jesse's share home unannounced. So it was the mother tipped the police off that it was an alleged stalker named Bo. So Beaulamar Condon, he knew when the housemates were gone, but didn't know that Luke Davies was there. And so there was a 000 call where from Luke Davies's phone, where allegedly he said, fuck off. And so because he only had one surfboard bag, he left the bodies there under a blue tarpon, wrapped in one bag, partially draped over the other, near the roller door at the back courtyard. And his housemates, they noticed that there was this these large heavy objects under this blue tarpon, poked it, but didn't lift the blue tarpon, otherwise would have discovered the dead bodies of Jesse Baird and Luke Davies and would have saved the police several days of looking. And there was blood blood stains beneath the floorboards, but they thought that that was beetroot, amazingly, even though we are in a national beetroot shortage. So then Beaulamar Condon, he got the hire van from the airport, then transferred the bodies. Well, he dumped this is all alleged. This is what the police case against him is. Dumped the bloodied ID documents in the skip in Cronulla, which was found and reported to police, then dumped the bodies in the town of Bongonia, near Goulburn, and he purchased an angle grinder and a padlock and borrowed a torch from an acquaintance who was like an old, I think described as an old school friend, but when they became suspicious, moved the bodies to the adjacent property, and then drove to Newcastle to a former police colleague's place to wash the blood from the van. And so this is from the Sydney Morning Herald, which was published on Friday night. And according to this former police friend, he said, "This morning I was floating in a dam. I am me, but it's not me. I have to get this sorted and clean up my mess." And he told his friend that he wasn't sure what was a dream and what was real. We still don't know why he stalked Jesse Baird. Now, according to Jesse Baird friends, they weren't in a relationship. They were like friends with benefits. So it says here that investigators suspect the officer has stalked Baird, potentially breaking into his home and damaging the presenter's car in recent months. And he also complained about a shadowy figure at the foot of his bed. He also deleted contacts from Jesse Baird's phone, so maybe he had the passcode to it as well. So this is all very, very weird. And there's definitely going to be a Netflix doco series about it. Maybe there'll be a Ryan Murphy monster miniseries about Beaulamar Condon. He was voted in his high school yearbook the most likely to become famous. Well, he's famous now like Jeffrey Dahmer was, the gay Milwaukee cannibal serial killer in the late 80s and early 90s. And now the radical queer activists, they basically tried to erase Beaulamar Condon's homosexuality because they wanted to focus on their anti-cop agenda, saying a police officer killed two members of our community. This is why we don't want the police at Mardi Gras, even though Beau Lamar Condon was part of their community. Now, reason why they call them queer activists, well, because this is what they call themselves. And queer, it's a new term that is used by the radical activists and by the ABC, even though it's called the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. They call their coverage as part of ABC Queer. My definition of queer is heterosexual people who want to be interesting and different and special. Like, there's a lot of women who claim they're non-binary trans and shave their head and then claim they're non-binary and trans. What is it? There was some female soccer player claimed she was non-binary, even though she's continuing to play in the women's league because she's a biological female, I should say. That's why she's continuing to play in the women's league. If she's non-binary, how come she doesn't feel comfortable playing in the male league? Is because she's a biological woman. She'd feel as a biological female, she'd have a disadvantage. So the New South Wales Police, they were determined for some reason to march at the Mardi Gras, and so entered negotiations with the Mardi Gras board, because it's a corporation that accepts government and sponsorship money, is overseeing large expenditure. So apparently people can become a member of the organization and vote on the board. So it was agreed in the end that New South Wales Police would be allowed to march, but not wear their uniforms or carry their guns. Though they did wear New South Wales Police polos, which is a non-official uniform, which still pissed off the queer activists. Going on to my definition of queer. Queer also includes groomers and Marxists. And also the older homosexuals, they believe that queer is a slur. Well, when I say queer, I mean it as an insult. If calling these activists queers, I'm saying that, well, you want to feel special, even though you're, what is it, normal heterosexuals. So that's why I'm calling you queers, and also because it's also made up of the groomers and Marxists. So yes, I do mean queer as a slur insult. The main queer Marxist radical group is Pride in Protest. They're the mob that invited Lydia Thorpe last year, who thought she was lying down in front of the Australian Federal Police float, but it was actually a youth charity, and she was booed and the police moved her away. Now, Lydia Thorpe is not LGBT, though maybe she identifies as queer. I mean, obviously she identifies almost exclusively with her Aboriginal side. That's why her surname, she's chosen the surname Thorpe. Her mother's side is Aboriginal, not her father's white side, which is Illingsworth. The Pride in Protest Marxist, on the Friday night, they decided to block the Oxford Street, where the parade route is. It wasn't blocked off yet. And what looked like this Middle Eastern security guard, because they were blocking his road. And this is the whole thing. They block the road and then they cry out in pain when the police move them on or motorists give them a spray. Remember when Dennis Hutz was arrested for confronting Extinction Rebellion protesters blocking the road in Perth, and the police arrested and charged him? Absolutely outrageous. But this is this based Middle Eastern security guard in the car giving these Pride in Protesters a spray.
I'm Palestinian.
You heard that that Middle Eastern man say that he was Palestinian. He'd been protesting for Palestinian rights for years, but you're going about this the wrong way. Of course, I as the modern saying is, leftism is a mental disorder. So of course they're not going to listen to reason there. I saw a comment from Wolfish Naturalist, who said, being from Sydney, I can tell you the gays used to bash straights at Oxford Street. They'd send a short, weak one to antagonize and surprise, attach straights, then call it straight bashing. And said, usually they'd send a small one in, skipping and poking to provoke a reaction, then lots of other gays would come out and swarm. I haven't heard of that happening, though if it did happen, we probably wouldn't hear about it because that doesn't fit the historical narrative. Now, the reason why these radical queers are anti-police, because in the 80s and 90s, the New South Wales police took part with vigilantes in the Poofta bashings and threw gays off cliff tops there was a gay beat which was on a cliff top, so they threw them off the rooftop, ISIS style. I do know that radical queers, they make slurs against straight people, calling them breeders. Ron Nielsen says, Poofta bashing should never have been outlawed. Now look what we have. Well, no, I don't agree with that, Ron. How about gays don't bash straights and straights don't bash gay? How about we don't turn into a mob violent society? That's what we're trying to avoid here. We are seeing that happen with these savages out on the streets and invading homes as well. Sean Browning is still talking about Chemical Brothers. 90% of the security at Chemical Brothers were Western kind, big country boys. Well, it was Geelong there. And now at the Mardi Gras parade itself, which I don't know, like, why is the ABC allowed to cover it, be a sponsor? Aren't they supposed to be impartial? Like, I am one of many who's forced to pay for the ABC that finds the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras parade disgusting. It shouldn't be in the streets of Sydney. It should be at a private stadium like the SCG, like it was during COVID, and restricted to over 18s. If you want to like parade around like almost naked and rub against each other, like, do it where it's only adults. I don't do it out in a public street. I don't care if currently it's permitted. It shouldn't be. But the pride in protest, radical queers, they of course were there the next night. In Lydia Thorpe style, she wasn't there. They attempted to disrupt the Rainbow Labour float, and the Premier Chris Minns had to be whisked away with their, of course, they had a Queers for Palestine sign. They always, remember, they tried to hijack Carols by Candlelight to talk about Palestine there. They just have to talk about it all the time. Of course, I, like most of us, think that Israel's response is totally disproportionate, but still hijacking every event to, well, basically get yourself front and center of the activism is well, it's just narcissistic attention seeking, like the Just Stop Oil people. So there were 9 people who were arrested and 8 were charged. They were charged with the surprising here, but they were charged with using violence to cause fear. So the New South Wales police, they weren't timid like their Victorian counterparts when they threw paint bombs at Victoria Police during the gay Midsummer parade. So maybe because they embarrassed the Premier, that's why they've been charged there. But surprisingly, there's some immediate charges slapped on these radical activists, which is quite refreshing. Now, also marching for Rainbow Labour was Tanya Plibersek, and she was more than happy to post to social media her with a man who's almost completely naked apart from hot pants and wearing one of those leather vests. Anyway, that's enough for that photo there. So basically posing with a man wearing part of a fetish costume there. And now there was, did anyone see the disgusting litter that was left in the wake of the Mardi Gras, the last day? Remember these queers, they're supposed to be environmental activists. So this was, did anyone see this? That was absolutely disgusting, all of that that litter there. Almost as disgusting as the actual parade itself. What about a straight pride parade full of whites? Well, Melbourne does get a straight pride parade next weekend. The Labor Day long weekend is the Moomba parade on the Monday. There is a king and queen of Moomba, so 2 genders. There is a male, which is a king, and a female, which is a queen. So I like to call it Melbourne's straight Mardi Gras because, well, it's family friendly. But it was at least good to see Tanya the next day. cleaning up some of the mess that it seems that her constituents had left. She's the member for Sydney. I mean, she should have been at Oxford Street cleaning up some of that as well. But I mean, it's good to see her picking up someone's rubbish there. Now, Anthony Albanese, he was planning to go to the Mardi Gras, he said that his plan was to not appear at the Dunkley by-election night in case Labour lost. So Richard Miles, the Deputy Prime Minister, he was there representing the Prime Minister. He's the member for Corio near Geelong. So Anthony Albanese, given that he cops so much flack for going to Taylor Swift last Friday night, and then Katy Perry at Visi billionaire Richard Pratt's mansion for a private show, he decided not to go to the Mardi Gras. I bet he wanted to go to the Mardi Gras because Sophie Alice Baxter, another pop star, was one of the keynote performers there. Her signature song is Murder on the Dance Floor. I'm not sure if she performed that given, it was also the Mardi Gras was a commemoration of Jesse Baird and Luke Davies. Do any of you remember that that iconic song, Murder on the Dance Floor? It's around 20 years old now. But Anthony Albanese, he decided that he would just have a quiet one at home with the family because it was his birthday. So yes, Anthony Albanese, he resisted going to a party for once because he knew just had of a bad optics it was. Mark says Mardi Gras was a satanic ritual. Ron Nielsen says Dim is an expert on the Mardi Gras. Well, I'm just covering the news. I've certainly never been and would never go. Dawn Browning says all Chem Brothers videos depicting couples were heterosexual. Just saying. You mean normal? That's the new N-word, normal. Prime Minister party boy. Exactly. Now, last week, we had, the ASIO director, Mike Burgess, he delivered his annual threat assessment. And, to basically get a headline this year, because he's previously said that foreign interference, influence, espionage is now the national security issue that ASIO spends most of its time on now. This year, he mentioned that a former politician sold out their country, party, and former colleagues to advance the interests of a foreign regime. At one point, the former politician even proposed bringing a prime minister's family member into the spy's orbit. Fortunately, that plot did not go ahead, but other schemes did. Now, I didn't mention the foreign regime, though he said that they were called the A-team. He now has said that the foreign regime was China, but he's refusing to name the politician because he said they committed these, in my opinion, acts of treason against our country before the foreign interference laws were passed in 2018. So they said they're an ex-politician who was active before 2018. Now, there are plenty of names that have been bandied about. It was a real guess who game. Joe Hockey, the former federal treasurer, said that this traitor should be outed. Peter Dutton and Ray Hadley agreed that it was probably a former New South Wales Labor politician. And now Malcolm Turnbull's son, Alex Turnbull, said it sounded like Mike Burgess was talking about him when it said the former politician even proposed bringing a prime minister's family member to the spy's orbit. So he said he got some weird offer to have equity in some investment. He said that he immediately raised red flags and reported it to, he didn't say who, but appropriate law enforcement, said ASIO. But of course, Mike Burgess, it wouldn't be an ASIO threat assessment without saying there's been an uptick in the number of nationalist and racist violent extremists advocating sabotage in private conversations both here and overseas. It's particularly pronounced among former accelerationist extremists who want to trigger a so-called race war. We have seen them endorsing attacks on power networks, electrical substation and railway networks. He also mentioned Sunni violent extremism poses the greatest religiously motivated extremism threat in Australia. Now, going on, we had a, well, you could call it a landmark court decision in Australia, and this was in the Queensland Supreme Court. Justice Glenn Martin ruled that the COVID vaccine mandate that applied to the Queensland Police Service and the Queensland Ambulance Services breached part of the state's Human Rights Act. And this was bankrolled, class action challenge, I should say, by Clive Palmer, who didn't get vaccinated, even though he's a fat old guy. When he got COVID, they wanted to put him on a ventilator. He decided to have a cocktail of alternate treatments, and he's alive and kicking. So this could open up the door to compensation for those who were stood down and those who still cannot work. The Queensland Health Minister, Shannon Fentiman, said that they're considering appealing. I'm not sure that it'd be to the full bench of the Queensland Supreme Court or the Court of Appeal. And Brucey says, this decision is hilarious. Imagine pushing this shit on people, telling yourself and everyone, but it's the law, only to find out it wasn't. But the skit shows were right. I mean, this is the first Supreme Court justice judge in any system who has, ruled against the COVID orders. I mean, they've normally just waved them through or been too scared, judicial officers. And it was discussed on their Today show with their health expert, former Deputy Commonwealth Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Nick Coatsworth, who showed a contrition for, because he fronted the national COVID vaccination campaign, claiming we're not safe until we're all safe. So this is some of him on the Today Show.
Queensland Supreme Court has ruled that the COVID-19 vaccine mandates for emergency services were unlawful.
Here to explain is today medical expert Dr. Nick Coatsworth. Doc, good morning to you. This is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? Can you walk us through the ruling?
It is extraordinary, Carl. Before I do that, I can't do this segment without acknowledging my own role in the system that promoted vaccine mandates. But I think what this ruling does is it calls into question the basis upon which those mandates were put in, and it does so because the Queensland Police Commissioner, by law, had to examine the impact on human rights. And it was clear through this case and the evidence, which I read yesterday, that she did no such thing. She didn't give any regard to the human rights implications of these vaccine mandates, and so they were declared unlawful under Section 58 of the Queensland Human Rights Act.
As you know, this caused so much conjecture and angst at the time, right? So what does it actually mean now for those frontline workers who made this complaint?
It could mean a number of things. It could mean that some of them get their jobs back. It could open the way for civil proceedings and damages against the governments with human rights acts, which are Queensland, ACT and Victoria. But importantly, I think it opens all the decisions that we, as senior health officials, as senior police and ambulance officials made, did we have regard to Australians' human rights when we made those decisions, and to what extent did we balance those decisions against human rights? And I think going forward, that's probably the most important thing of these decisions, and I think there's going to be more of them.
Well, Victoria needs to keep an eye on this then.
Well, Victoria certainly does. I mean, there must be cases going on down there. And I think that if we're going to have human rights acts and they're supposed to be protective of people's rights, well, we do have to have regard for them. And there was, you know, we have a human rights commissioner, a federal human rights commissioner, who was unfortunately quite silent during the pandemic on some of these issues. And it doesn't matter if the majority of the population goes along with it. Human rights acts are there to protect the minority who may have very good reasons or beliefs.
I don't know if they would have got much airplay when you go back to the circumstances. But you rightly point out, Nick, that that you're a government official promoting vaccines during the pandemic. You're a big boy. You can defend yourself. Did you get it wrong?
Well, I think certainly we didn't get it wrong promoting the vaccines, Carl, but the mandates, yes, I think we did get that wrong. And I think you can say hindsight is 20/20, but Carl, hindsight gives us foresight. And if we have another pandemic, we should think long and hard whether mandates for vaccines are justified.
Wow. So what would it look like then if there was another one?
Well, like I said on Q&A in July in 2020, that we should convince people. That was the starting position of the government. We moved quickly to mandates because we were worried at the time that we wouldn't get enough vaccination coverage. But I think what we saw in New South Wales and Victoria was that you could get to high levels of vaccine coverage without the mandates. And that was because people were genuinely worried and they were prepared to be informed about these vaccines. That's the way to do it for the future.
Gee, I tell you what, I don't miss those times.
Yeah.
That is for certain.
No, but we have to reflect on them and we have to learn
lessons. Yeah, good to see you, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Thank you, Doc.
Now, I noticed that Russell Brand commended Dr. Nick Coatsworth for showing contrition there, though I noticed that many in the comments, you're not so forgiving. I'd assume you'd still want him at Nuremberg 2.0. But, I mean, Dr. Nick Coatsworth, he has been, for the last 2+ years, he has been a critic of, well, he's pushed back against those forever COVID people who are still pushing masks in 2024. And what is that? Their other thing is they like nasal vaccines and also these air filters, which they want installed in every public building. Now, Nick Coatsworth, he quit the deputy Commonwealth Chief Medical Officer role. I think it was early in 2021. That's when he started to be outspoken because he didn't have the shackles of being a government employee. Look, I think that he has shown certainly more contrition and used his platform to push back against the COVID cultists. But there are certainly others who, well, certainly are sure need to face a Nuremberg 2.0. Scott Morrison, who's finally left the parliament, had his valedictory speech last year. The Liberal Party is pre-selecting the by-election candidate for Cook as we speak. Dan Andrews, he turned up at Spring Street looking dishevelled this morning. He should also Nuremberg 2.0, Palaszczuk, Michael Gunner. I mean, the list should go and go. Well, Naughty Design says, Tim, he still thinks the jabs are a good idea. Well, if you're 85, I mean, there's more of a benefit to the COVID jab than a risk. Same with the flu vaccine. So, like, obviously, it's been proven now, the side effects in these jabs. It's always cost benefit. It should never have been mandated for young people. The fact that they had to mandate it to get vaccine coverage, I mean, it showed that they never convinced enough of the public that this virus was super scary, that just took it to my veins, we'll do, you know, anything to get the vaccine. That's why they had to vaccinate it. Dawn Browning says, have any state PMs or their health deputies not resigned? Well, there's still Andrew Barr and the ACT Chief Minister. There's still Kerry Chant, the New South Wales Chief Health Officer. There's still Nicola Spirier. Remember her, South Australia, don't touch the football. So they're still there who, well, made all these, well, gave all this advice. There's all of them have pretty much still got away with it. This Supreme Court decision of Queensland doesn't change it. Now, moving over to the UK and the major political parties, they are in an absolute meltdown post George Galloway, the ex Labour Party and ex Respect Party MP, won the Rochdale by-election, which is a town in the Greater Manchester area. George Galloway is an old school anti-globalist socialist. Because Rochdale has a large Muslim population, he was able to basically campaign on the issue of Israel's war in Gaza and win that by-election because Labour disendorsed their candidate, Alsar Ali, because he was secretly recorded saying that Israel may be allowed October the 7th to happen so they could invade Gaza, which is I'd say, an acceptable conspiracy theory to put forward. I mean, I've discussed it with Andy Nolch on the theorists. So their vote plummeted by 43.9%. George Galloway won with 39.4% of the vote. So wasn't a majority, but won by 6,000 votes. Another independent finished second. Well, he's not an independent, George Galloway, but from a minor party. He ran basically as George Galloway. That's who, that's basically, it was his branding that won it, not necessarily the party. So David Anthony Tully was the independent who got 21.13%. The Reform Party, they ran the disgraced ex-Labour MP for Rochdale, Simon Danzik, who was kicked out of the Labour Party for sexting a 17-year-old girl. Somebody had a good zinger on Twitter X saying that the reason that Reform lost is because his target demographic was not old enough to vote. That's quite funny there. So Richard Tice, he was out on with a megaphone on the day saying, save Rochdale from George Galloway. Now, Rochdale, of course, was centre of the Muslim grooming gang and the subsequent cover-up by the authorities there. Reform underperformed, and its leader, Richard Tice, accused George Galloway and the Workers' Party of Britain of voter intimidation and postal vote ballot harvesting. Nigel Farage, who's the honorary Reform chairman, claimed that there were people following the local postman in Rochdale delivering postal votes and then knocking on the person's door and staying there until they'd collected the postal vote, and claimed that in when they opened postal ballot bags at the counting centres, it was 95% for Galloway. This was the flyer that George Galloway sent to the Muslims of Rochdale. He made a flyer especially for them. Asalem Akalem, the last 130 days have shocked the Omar, which is the followers of Islam, to its core. The killing of thousands of our brothers and sisters in Gaza is a war crime, and Israel must be held to account. He says, I, George Galloway, have fought for Muslims at home and abroad all my life and paid a price for it. If Labour lose this by-election, Zakir Starmer could be forced out as Labour leader. Zakir Starmer, a top supporter of Israel, out. With your support, and if God wills, I will give the 200 remaining days of Parliament to the full service of the people of Rochdale as your MP. You have a unique message to send to Zakir Starmer and the Labour Party. Stop supporting genocide, stop supporting Israel aggression, and stand with Palestine. Though he sent a separate letter to the white working class areas of Rochdale. So he said, I believe in Britain. I believe in the family. I believe in men and women. So he only believes in two genders. Unlike the mainstream parties, I have no difficulty in defining what a woman is. I believe in law and order. I fight for small business. As the owner of the exchange asked me, Rochdale is 20 minutes from Manchester. How can you not make that work? Also mentioned that he supported Brexit. Now, Julia Hartley Brewer, that Talk TV conservative shill, said, oh, this is sinister. What? He's just pandering to two sets of voters. Now, the reason I and many others are glad that George Galloway won is because he basically showed, exploited, demonstrated how he was able to win a by-election on a foreign policy issue by appealing to the Muslims in that electorate. So they were all voting on a foreign policy issue. He was appealing to them to be a representative in the British Parliament. And George Galloway, his first statement when he was declared the winner, this is what he said.
Keir Starmer, this is for Gaza. You have paid and you will pay a high price for the role that you have played in enabling, encouraging, and covering for the catastrophe presently going on in occupied Palestine in the Gaza Strip.
Naughty Design said, love this guy. He's like the lawyer in Breaking Bad. Yeah, he's basically, I would say, basically made the, well, brought a fast forwarded the mass migration demographic patterns. So George Galloway, so it's interesting that his party is called the Workers' Party of Britain. Why wasn't it called the British Workers' Party? Is that because it would sound too similar to the German Workers' Party, that party founded in Germany in 1919, and then a member, Adolf Hitler, changed the name to the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why it's called the Workers' Party of Britain, not the British Workers' Party. It's called the Workers' Party of Britain instead. Wolfish Naturalist says, Galloway loves kebabs. Shut up. And George Galloway, he has vowed to repeat this strategy of targeting Labour MPs in Muslim areas at the general election. He said he's got a whole bunch of candidates ready to go.
Congratulations. What message does your victory send?
I think the biggest message is to Keir Starmer that he's lost the trust, lost the confidence of millions of traditional Labour voters. And that's going to cost Labour plenty in the general election this year.
Is this not a particular set of circumstances here, though? I mean, would Labour not have won this seat had it not been for the fact that they had to drop their candidate?
Well, none of us can know that. If you think it's just a particular set of circumstances, I beg to differ. I think that all over the country, Workers' Party candidates, independent candidates, significant people will now stand up against Labour in those constituencies and will either defeat them or cause their defeat. And that ought to be a matter of concern for Keir Starmer, and I think it is.
I mean, how widespread can this get, though? I mean, you're obviously well known. You've got a history of doing this kind of thing. But does your party have the infrastructure to do more, realistically, in other parts of the country?
Well, we've got now 60 parliamentary candidates. We won't necessarily use them all because we're open to negotiation with others. If an independent has a better shout than us, we'll negotiate that. But we are... You know, this is where the co-op was born in 1844. Nobody thought it could be done. But I've been in co-ops from the favelas in Brazil to the townships of South Africa. It spread throughout the whole world. And I think this victory tonight will spread far.
So Rishi Sunak, he held an emergency press conference after George Galloway's election victory. So the Democratic vote in Rochdale, he basically came out and said, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
In recent weeks and months, we have seen a shocking increase in extremist disruption and criminality. What started as protests on our streets has descended into intimidation, threats, and planned acts of violence. Jewish children fearful to wear their school uniform, lest it reveal their identity. Muslim women abused in the street for the actions of a terrorist group they have no connection with. Now our democracy itself is a target. Council meetings and local events have been stormed. MPs do not feel safe in their homes. Long-standing parliamentary conventions have been upended because of safety concerns. And it is beyond alarming that last night the Rochdale by-election returned a candidate who dismisses the horror of what happened on October the 7th, who glorifies Hezbollah, and is endorsed by Nick Griffin, the racist former leader of the BNP. I need to speak to you all this evening because this situation has gone on long enough and demands a response not just from government, but from all of us. Britain is a patriotic, liberal, democratic society with a proud past and a bright future. We're a reasonable country and a decent people. Our story is one of progress, of great achievements and enduring values. Immigrants who have come here have integrated and contributed. They have helped write the latest chapter in our island story. They have done this without being required to give up their identity. You can be a practicing Hindu and a proud Briton as I am, or a devout Muslim and a patriotic citizen as so many are, or a committed Jewish person and the heart of your local community, and all underpinned by the tolerance of our established Christian church. We are a country where we love our neighbours and we are building Britain together. But I fear that our great achievement in building the world's most successful multi-ethnic, multi-faith democracy is being deliberately undermined. There are forces here at home trying to tear us apart. Since October the 7th, there have been those trying to take advantage of the very human angst that we all feel about the terrible suffering that war brings to the innocent, to women and children, to advance a divisive, hateful ideological agenda. On too many occasions recently, our streets have been hijacked by small groups who are hostile to our values and have no respect for our democratic traditions. Membership of our society is contingent on some simple things: that you abide by the rule of law, and that change can only come through the peaceful democratic process. Threats of violence and intimidation are alien to our way of doing things. They must be resisted at all times. Nearly everyone in Britain supports these basic values, but there are small and vocal hostile groups who do not. Islamist extremists and the far right feed off and embolden each other. They are equally desperate to pretend that their violence is somehow justified, when actually these groups are two sides of the same extremist coin.
The far left and Islamists and the far right nationalists, they're both extremists. This is what also controlled opposition people like Konstantin Kyssen, who's touring Australia, say. There were some sensible conservative commentators like Connor Tomlinson who said this is a false equivalence. A nationalist patriot activists are in no way, you can no way compare them to the Islamists. Now, George Galloway, he has been on fire on his Twitter account. So I've got it here. This is what he tweeted. So, yes, Rishi Roland Rat Sunak is George Galloway said, "This is you, Rishi Sunak. Why don't you call a general election, you moral and political dwarf?" And yes, Rishi Sunak here as well is basically almost as short as a rat, and so needs a has photoshopped him needing a box to stand on there, a set of steps there. And Rishi Sunak is an unelected prime minister. And Sam Coates, who's this Sky News journalist in the UK I'd never heard of, interviewed George Galloway at his victory party, asking him to reply, what do you say to these people who say you intimidated locals, and what about what the prime minister said? And he tore Sam Coates a new one, verbally, I'm saying.
Why are there people on the streets worried?
There may be people who didn't vote for me who are worried, but the majority, the thumping majority, voted for me. I've got the mandate, and I'm going to the House of Commons with it.
And it's a mandate, you think, to do what? Because there are people that listen to what you say, what you say about whether or not Israel has a right to exist, what you say about what many Jewish people think are threatening slogans.
We had this conversation last night. Why are you reheating it?
Because in the light of the Prime Minister's statement...
Don't keep telling me about the Prime Minister as if he was Moses.
Do you not respect the Prime Minister?
Do I respect the Prime Minister? I despise the Prime Minister. And guess what? Guess what? Millions and millions and millions of people in this country despise the Prime Minister. I don't respect the Prime Minister at all.
And Galloway's supporters in the background were accused of intimidating Sam Coates because they chanted behind him. Because Sam Coates is part of the privileged special mainstream media. So when they do a live cross from a public place, apparently they own the area. So they get very upset if you dare walk anywhere in the shot in a public place, even though it's a public place. Like, there's no special zone where like they're immune from being interrupted. There have been particularly female journalists in Australia who've got very triggered when there's been a heckler. It's like, how dare you? I'm a special mainstream media journalist. How dare you try and have your say on our TV network? Now, Margot says she loves George Galloway's hat. The reason that he wears it is for his personal safety, because in 2014, he was physically assaulted by Neil Masterton. This was when he was an MP for Bradford West, left him with cuts, bruises to his head and ribs, requiring hospital treatment. So Masterson, who was wearing a T-shirt with Israeli Defense Forces logo, he said he felt morally justified in attacking the pro-Palestine MP because he was a Nazi with a shameful attitude towards Jews. The Kurt Horde believed he would have been killed if Masterson had recently converted Judaism and had been armed with a knife during their chance meeting. Galloway's always denied being an anti-Semite. He is a anti-Zionist, that's for sure. Brucey says, lol, he legit wears a helmet. Okay, politics are getting fun. Though, why does he wear it in his broadcast studio? I'm sure that Galloway, like, he has security at his place. Is he worried someone will come in live on air? He'll be basically swatted live on air and being attacked. That's why. I wonder if it's a sort of a magic hat, like it's actually got like steel protection on the inside. So yes, all the right people are triggered, having an extreme meltdown over George Galloway's return as an MP. And I think all of us here, most of us in the chat, are absolutely here for it. The Conservatives, they've recently threw one of their own MPs under the bus, Lee Anderson, for saying that Sadiq Khan has allowed Islamists to control London. They basically have like been on the decided to be defensive, saying, we disavow, we believe in diversity and multi-faith. When, because Sir Keir Starmer, he brought up in Prime Minister's questions, Liz Truss not condemning Tommy Robinson when Steve Bannon called him a hero. I played this last week, and Sir Keir Starmer called Tommy Robinson a right-wing thug. And Rishi Sunak said, nobody on this side supports Tommy Robinson. And then also asked, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, support Nigel Farage being brought back into the Conservative fold? And he said that his answer was the Conservative Party is a proud, diverse party. And this is what he put, the Conservative Party put, the first Jewish Prime Minister, the first female Prime Minister, the first Black Chancellor, the first Muslim Home Secretary, the first British Asian Prime Minister, it is the Conservatives that represent modern Britain. So he's ratted off the list then. Reading that list, I would conclude that diversity hasn't been a strength, because that the Conservative government over the past 14 years has been absolutely weak on borders, on protecting women and girls from grooming gangs, terrible on free speech, terrible on standing up for traditional Britain. They've had two female prime ministers. Yes, Rishi Sunak, what is it? They call Indians Asians there. So yes, that's nothing to be proud of, because and nobody gives a shit really about that. They care about your performance, which has been absolutely bloody atrocious. So the sooner the Conservative Party are thrown out on their ass, the better. This Conservative government needs to be put out of its misery. Not that Sir Keir Starmer and Labour are going to be any better. And it would be good if the latest poll still has Labour on track for a landslide majority. But it would be good if the Workers' Party of Britain, say, won 12 seats in Muslim majority areas, to just basically a further show that British Muslims are voting about their own foreign grievances on their own issues, and continuing to put basically the replacement, native Britons basically are being, well, they're on track to become minority, being replaced. Another sensible, one of the few people in the who's a on GB News who still speaks their mind, and that's Bev Turner. She said that Rishi Sunak's press conference said, I'm not psychic, I just read it. It's all there if you choose to look at the source material of the establishment media. Incoming digital ID tied to your health, incoming central bank digital currencies tied to your behavior, incoming surveillance, incoming punishment for protesters when the government try all that. We will soon have no her translation was, we have a dangerous, intolerant, illiberal, undemocratic forces at play, so sadly we'll soon have no choice but to police your thoughts more closely and curtail your freedom harshly. I fear the nostalgia we feel for the summer of 2019 will be nothing compared to the nostalgia we feel for the summer of 2024. Be hypervigilant. The fourth industrial revolution is ramping up. Which side will you be on? How long will, sadly, fear Bev Turner be allowed to still be on GB News, same as Neil Oliver? Now, we knew that that Sam Milley, the husband, I should say, of patriotic alternative activist Laura Taylor, he had been found guilty earlier this year of inciting racial hatred and encouraging racially aggravated criminal damage earlier this year. This is because of stickers that he put up. Reject white guilt. It's okay to be white. We'll be in a minority in our homeland by 2026. White Lives Matter. Stop anti-white rape games. Love your nation. But the judge, Tom Bayliss, said the publication of this type of material is corrosive to our society for the first time since the 1930s. A real risk of gross, potentially violent anti-Semitism is becoming normalized on our streets. It has been used before to tear at the heart of Western democracy. It must not be allowed to do so. So he got 2 years in prison for each charge to run concurrently, then were released on license. This same judge gave a pedophile a suspended 8-month sentence for possessing child sex abuse material in 2022, gave the same sentence to another pedophile, Bali Akwali, 51, admitted to having sex with a friend's dog and possessing hundreds of images of children as young as three being sexually abused. Absolute evil person. So, like, this is the thing. People who hold, pro-Indigenous British views are given a harsher sentence than pedophiles in the UK. Now, Laura Taylor, she put out on her Telegram channel a statement, which I'll go through here. By now, you'll have heard that my husband, Sam Malaya, was sentenced today to 2 years in prison for his intentions behind publishing stickers that the prosecution said were both lawful and truthful. Sentencing guidelines gave the judge the option of choosing anywhere between 2 years and 6 years. The minimum was given due to the lack of seriousness regarding the offence. The judge could have suspended the sentence and sent Sam home at 2 years. However, he chose not to and said the reason was because he wanted the sentencing directors and turn it to other people with the same beliefs. Before today, Sam met with the probation officer, who said that Sam was no risk to the public and there was no chance of reoffending, and recommending a community order. The judge chose to ignore this. The worst case scenario is that Sam will serve 12 months in prison, potentially could serve 6 to 8 months. It's considered a low risk and therefore could be on day release as early as a few months. If you could take anything from this, let it remind you why we do what we do. We live in a country where our people are attacked by the anti-white state for advocating for their own safety and interests. I don't want cuddles or condolences. I don't want thoughts and prayers. I want you to join me in fighting the void that Sam leaves for the next few months. There are no excuses. Not everybody has to be on the front line. There's plenty of you can do behind the scenes. Sam should hold his head up high, knowing that he put his head above the parapet and many others dare not. He didn't back down at any point over the last 3 years, nor did he take any offer they offered him. He remained defiant for all of us, and now it's our turn to repay his sacrifice by carrying the flame until he is back. And also, I think I've shared the fundraiser, the Give, Send, Go. Laura Taylor is pregnant with hers and Sam's second child. So Laura, she has worked with Mark Collette, the founder of Patriarch Alternative, since the beginning. Sam, he'd been with Laura for many years, but I only sort of like came out as an activist a number of years back. This is the thing. Remember that coming out is supposed, you know, homosexuals are called stunning and brave for coming out, but it's actually, well, the courageous thing these days is to come out as a nationalist activist. And Sam Millay, he did put everything on the line there. So I put the Give, Send, Go in the chats here. It is good that this injustice, this outrageous sentence, Sam's case has been highlighted by Tommy Robinson, who certainly doesn't agree with Patriarch Alternative and Sam's style of nationalism, because Tommy is a Zionist civic nationalist. He famously many years back called Laura Taylor some bird in a video rant that the Patriarch Alternative people didn't have any kids. Well, Laura and Sam didn't back then. They have, they've got 1.5 at the moment, you would say. Also, Paul Joseph Watson, he also mentioned this outrageous attack. Though the CAC, who runs the free speech union, so that is Toby Young, and he said that this law wasn't applied equally. Why is he guilty of stirring up racial and religious hatred, but not George Galloway or some comments about Israel Zionism that being incredibly incendiary? Yet Galloway is now the MP for Rochdale, while Millet has gone to prison for 2 years. Either the law is applied consistently without fear or favour, or it's not fit for purpose. So lock everyone up. Is that what Toby Young is saying? Duan Lang saying, me Leia, not me Millet. You know that I'm terrible with pronunciation. Laura is pregnant. They still judged him harshly. Well, look at, you know, they arrested Zoe Bueller while she was pregnant, the Victoria police, in her pajamas in 2020 for promoting that anti-lockdown protest in Ballarat in 2020. Steve Laws is talking about Sam. Well, Tommy Robinson, he knows that this precedent will be used against him and his supporters. I mean, Tommy Robinson, he even though he's a Zionist civic nationalist, he's still persona non grata. Rishi Sunak disavowed him in the House of Commons. David Cameron, when he was Prime Minister, called the English Defence League sick. So, yes, the Conservative Party, they'll never get it. And Reform, remember, Reform was founded as the Brexit Party because Nigel Farage didn't want to be part of UKIP anymore because Tommy Robinson joined. It's probably better if you're a UK person, given how much Reform has sort of basically toned itself down, some might say cucked under Richard Tice. I mean, he's well-spoken, but he is one of the sort of elitist class. He doesn't appeal to working class people. So probably UKIP's the way to go, though. There's the new Homeland Party. So Anne-Marie Waters, previously for Britain, she's UKIP's justice spokesperson. She's been quite based lately. So even though Anne-Marie has had her flare-ups with Patriotic Alternative, she's still putting herself out there. Well, that brings me to the end of the show. I've gone well over time, so I'm going to skip the US report and also the Canadian report, because there's been massive developments in Canada. I make sure to keep in touch, to be notified when Unshackled Productions are live next. Make sure you click subscribe. I click the bell to allow for notifications. Give a thumbs up, like, comment below. Also, you can subscribe to our Substack to get email alerts when the Unshackled is about to go live. That's what I've been doing when I've been sending out the alerts for Unshackled live streams. And then, of course, you can support us financially, $5 per month, $50 per year, or $500 per year as a foundation member. And you can also support The Unshackled at theunshackled.net/membership. So thank you, everyone, for watching once again. I'll be back tomorrow night for The Theorists with Andy Nolch. So, and we'll also have a report from Tiger Man, which Brolsonkoff, later in the week. I filmed a whole bunch of new reports. His latest one is on the Tucker Putin interview. So good night, everybody. Stay safe, stay sane, stay normal, because yes, I mean, if there's we've got these animal savages on the loose, but we've also had all of these degenerates and groomers running wild this past week as well. So that's why I say stay safe and stay normal. Good night.
Tim's News Explosion.